Blog Talk Radio.
This is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with...
Satishra, I was wondering why you couldn't have saved that thing for, like, Sunday or something. Shit.
I assume it's because they want it played on both shows, both, you know, Raw and
you,
SmackDown.
Not them.
Me? Really? Really? They just did it tonight. That's what they were referencing. They
yeah,
were referencing
but the
song.
Next Monday Night Raw is after Mother's Day. It makes sense for them. Our next podcast is tomorrow.
Yeah, but we're not doing one on Sunday. And if we are, it's Subtle Divas.
But
that
we've got a few that
day.
Are going to come closer to Sunday than tonight.
But do they really relate to Mr. T? We're not doing a SmackDown.
Anything
doesn't relate,
to Mr. T.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Good point there. Good point.
The Mets use Mr. T on their scoreboard when they need inspiration.
That's great.
Not lying to you about that.
No, I actually don't think you are. That's great. So, Monday Night Raw. According to you, Monday Night Meh. And yeah, we'll go in order. But at first, before we even go in order, let's talk about the main event, right?
You were gonna say let's talk about Albany and fuck Albany, but I mean.
Yeah, well, we're gonna fuck Albany. What? But seriously,
I mean, if
though,
you want me to, I could try, but it might take a few days. But hey,
yeah, only a few days. So Shield versus Wyatt. I wasn't excited. It picked up, obviously, which is great. But I wasn't excited because I feel as if this is just their way of thinking, all right, who can we put against the Shield? Well, now they're faces. So we only have the Wyatts. All right, book it. People like that match the first two times. They'll like it the next 70. It's like, you can't really, I don't know, I feel as if it's hard to put new guys versus new guys because then it becomes an issue of who do you put over.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, in terms of storyline progression,
yeah,
the finish made sense.
Yeah,
Wyatt looks strong, which is cool. You know, the Shield can put over guys, but John Cena can't.
You actually thought Wyatt looked strong. That was good. I actually thought you were going to say...
The finish protected him. What I mean?
No,
he didn't look too strong. He didn't look crazy strong during the match. I understand what you're thinking.
No, but I thought you were going to say that the finish made it look like he needed that distraction to win.
It made him look more like an opportunist, I think.
Fair enough.
Because
which is a good
the
point.
Thing is too, here's what I would have complained in slightly different things that would have made me upset. If Roman had hit a spear and then they did that, then yes, I would have said it, because
it
would have been a guaranteed loss. But he hit the Superman punch, which is a setup.
Right, right.
You get me? So
yes.
I wasn't that, it wasn't that bad. What I did dislike, though, is that JBL at one point, I think, almost blatantly said that, Wyatt won because of the family. And I was like, that's anti.
I think tonight commentary may have been at its worst at certain points, and at its pretty good at certain points as well. Certain points I really did enjoy commentary, and I think they were needed. At many other points, I really did not enjoy them. That being one of the things. I didn't think it was needed. It's a bit upsetting. I will get to the Bray promo later, even though it technically was earlier. A big issue, I think, with this match as well is that, at least at first, the Shield thrives on a high-energy atmosphere, not even referring to the fans, just their own, each and every member of the Shield pumping each other up, basically. That's very hard to do after you've killed each other the previous night. I think that these guys should have actually been, even though you can say, it was a tag match, and, Ambrose still looked good, even though he had the Battle Royal that was 2.5 hours previous, still, it's, you know, it was something that was really, I just worry about these guys because it's like a CM Punk situation where it's just, not that they're going to leave or anything, but you know, CM Punk needs high energy as well. So if he's being worked like a dog, it's not going to be there, and then the quality is going to suffer, and possible injuries will come. And the worst thing in the world is, with CM Punk, he gets injured, he either stays on or leaves for a few months. One of these guys gets injured, you're really screwed. You know,
yeah,
this is a team here.
Definitely. And to their credit, I mean, I have to say, I think the Shield looked very excellent in ring tonight, as always.
They didn't look... Ambrose is actually slower, in my opinion.
He looks slow, but that figure four looks really good still.
Oh,
like,
of course.
He really does that move justice. I'm actually very happy about that.
On
the flip side, I am quickly... I mean, not that I didn't like him before, but I'm really starting to place Rollins as, like 1 or 1A in my mental top wrestlers thing in my head. Because I just... Everything he does, I'm beginning to worship it. And it's just... He puts in a high work rate. You know, immediately he's exciting. He's versatile in the ring. I mean, that takedown on Harper looks sick. The spinning little sleeper takedown.
Yes.
And
this was coming
after he did a suicide flip dive. I mean, he looked great again. And he just brings the energy.
Yes, the
match
just solid.
Picked up. It picked up.
And when it picked up, I think it showed that, you know, they could still do what they had to do, but I was still extremely worried, especially for a guy like Ambrose, who, while he was still running around, you can tell after, you know, a couple of runarounds, all right, he's actually getting slower. This isn't good. Like, you know, this was not a good decision. They were still great. So as, you know, performers, they're great. But WWE really needs to think about their superstars, and I think that for some strange reason they've stopped doing that somehow. As if they just thought, wait, what about their well-being? No. They're actual superheroes. Vince, they're normal human beings.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, tomorrow being Tuesday, they're
going
to film SmackDown, which means likely the Shield is going to have something to do, if not minor. But you think about it, that's 3 days straight. If they have a match on SmackDown, that's going to be tough. I mean, 3 days of some real hard work.
I hope they just do an Ambrose situation where one of them, whoever they believe maybe is the least dead, you know, competes in a match.
I would say Reigns.
Reigns, yes, I would as well.
I was
very happy. He toned it down tonight. And
he went back to him being his...
Oh, no, he did a bit of it, but I think it's a good face kind of thing to do, where it was a bit there. It was just a bit of, like, Super Saiyan, but not full-on seizure mode, and it definitely helped him out.
You know, shake your face.
That was extremely frightening, I have to be honest.
If you want to talk
to us about any of these things, please call us at 718-664-9468. The number is 718-664-9468. Call us and talk to us about this because, you know, it's wrestling. We like wrestling.
Yeah, and I mean, as we delve into Raw, I'm going to say, I said in the beginning that I thought this was a bad show, and I do, but I think it was a bad show. I can't decide if it was a bad show made worse or a below-average show made bad because of the crowd and commentary.
I would like to say average. I'm not saying that it was the best, but I want to say it was an average Raw. It was a Raw that you would expect, you know, after everything kind of settles down and we see, okay, where are we going? I just think that, you know, I don't know. I think the issue is that it just doesn't resonate well with you and I. Not that it is the worst thing in the world or anywhere near that. It's just that I feel as if, you know, I do think that they have a direction that they want to go to for some people. It's just not the direction that we really want. And they've, in a way, you know, buried some of these pushes and kind of given up some money that they actually could have raked in. You know, I think WWE has so much money, they forget that they can make more and that they can keep a consistent stream of money.
See, I don't know if it's just the fact that it doesn't resonate with us, because, yeah, certain things don't resonate with me. I can definitely agree to that. But a lot of the things just, I don't know, they just maybe connect completely. Like, they just didn't really hit with me tonight. And certain things made me laugh that I was okay with, you know?
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were talking about, I thought you were referring to Sheamus winning. That made me laugh, and it probably shouldn't have.
That was weird to me, but see, that doesn't, in my head, that's not part of the bad in my head, because it made sense for Dean to be put in this battle royale because of Triple H trying to be an ass, and it would make sense for him to lose because of the fact that the title's not doing anything for him right now. He doesn't need it anymore.
Well,
and
he doesn't. Okay. I agree. He needed to lose. I just think that it should have been authority shenanigans. While I'm the guy who hates shenanigans, by the way. I hate smosh finishes. I still believe that in certain situations it works very well. And I think if you really want to build the Shield as underdogs, you should have, at the very least, had a heel win it. Unless, which would be great, they turn Jameis heel, they put him in a suit, he replaces
Batista. Well,
Jameis
is eventually turning heel. After the European tour, supposedly the word is that he's turning heel.
And,
I hear what you're saying.
When is that tour, by the way?
Twice in a night.
When was that tour, by the way? I would like to...
That is a very good question. I think it's soon.
I'm pretty sure it's soon, because I would like to say that, you know, if he replaces Batista, I would be extremely happy with it. Because I think that if you're going to have someone win the Battle Royale, it shouldn't have just been some guy. Because I think, as much as Sheamus isn't just some guy, I understand, at this point, where he is right now on the roster... It's extremely out of left field, and I think one of the worst ways possible.
Oh, it's out of left field, I'll give you that, but it wasn't that bad for me. It was just confusing, because it made sense that Dean was going to lose, and in terms of the people they put in there,
yeah,
it was weird. Because I admit it, I was thinking, like, originally, I was thinking, like, Rusev or some kind of shit, you know? Where I was like, oh, okay, so this is the start of Rusev's mega push, you know? So, I want to see what they do with the Sheamus thing, because... Now that he has it, I'm hoping that he defends it at Payback, and I would like to see what they do, because there's a lot of guys who could, you know, are pretty much in need of a mid-card feud, you know, and I'm not saying Sheamus is a mid-card, I'm just saying, like, you know, that's not top-level feud at
that's
this
what
point.
They're, well, that's what they're bumping him down to. I mean, we can say whatever we want to, but, you
they
know,
should be, they could use him to bump the title up, though, because this is a former championship holder. You know, he can do things. He's not... It's not, I don't know, it's not the worst thing in the world to me. And I liked the concept of the Battle Royale. It made sense in story for me because they're trying to get back at Dean. That wasn't part of the bad for me, really. It was just, like, Sheamus winning was weird. The Battle Royale, I thought, was a good idea.
No. I do agree that the Battle Royale was a great idea. You see, the Battle Royale itself made sense, right? The fact that, you know, Dean was in it right after he won made sense. The fact that he was going to lose made sense. I didn't want him to win. It's just the winner. It's the fact that there was no kind of screw job with it. You can tell they were waiting for it at the end of the night. But still, the fact that it was just technically a clean loss, in a way. And then later on, he does a very good job in his match to make you think, oh, so he isn't that tired, you know? So we got 2 hours to kind of rest up and then be better. Like, it's just a very weird thing where it's like, oh, damn, he lost that, but now he's just so good again.
Oh, no, I don't think so, because he was in a 20-man battle royale. It's not like they put him against Sheamus and he got pinned clean.
Fair enough.
He got thrown over the ropes after a grueling 20-man battle royale and a bro kick. I think it made him look strong, to be honest. This is the night after he just got thrashed in that match, you know? I mean, I think...
Yeah.
I don't think it's that bad.
I know. I guess it's just the person who
it
won.
Makes him look
not
a lot better than
that.
If he lost the singles match to lose that title.
That's true. I just think
authority shenanigan twice in one night if they had
so
it that
I understand.
That, way,
that I understand.
You know?
That I understand.
So I think it was okay. The rest of the night was, I think, where it started getting weird for me.
Well, RVD versus Cesaro was very weird because I'm sitting here thinking, do they want this to be a storyline? If they do, I guess. I mean, great way to put over. It's a great way to put over Cesaro in a way and kind of keep Heyman, you know, like in the, you know, really, you know, to keep him up with these interesting promos and everything, you know, cutting them against RVD. But at the same time, I do feel as if, you know, Cesaro could be fighting against more important people than
Cesaro could be taking on Sheamus for the inter.
Actually, hey, we don't know who.
Sorry,
we don't know
U.S.
who.
Title.
You almost. They're the same title. I will be honest. There's a chance that could happen. I mean,
I'm saying that in a hopeful way because there's nothing to gain from Cesaro taking on RVD. Like tonight, tonight it wasn't the worst thing in the world because, it just happened and it technically wasn't a singles match on Sunday night. I get it. The crowd didn't give a shit, and that definitely made it worse. But it's just, I don't know, I didn't like the placement right now, but If they make Cesaro do other things next week, I'll be happy. If this is a Cesaro RVD program, I am not going to be happy because we just had Cesaro go over on RVD in that match. Let's not do that again.
Yeah, there's no reason for it. He already conquered that. Move on.
He's not going to gain much. And the finish was weird for me.
That's
to show that Cesaro is, like, ruthless or something? Because we already know he's strong as fuck. You don't need to show that he's ruthless. You know, that doesn't have to be him. That being said, it's just, it's weird to me.
Heyman brings his A-game as always, though, because you never think about someone actually getting suspended because you always think, you know, it's fake. So to have him sit there going, you're going to get suspended, that's not good for you,
That was good, and that made it better. But I just, like, my worry, I guess, is that if they don't handle this push the right way, he's going to lose some of the head of steam that he really had for a bit. You know, I mean, people have forgotten, this is the guy that won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale. You know, that should have been a huge thing. And it feels like his push has slowed a little. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but it doesn't feel as strong as I thought it would be. So I'm just
worried that it's not going to be. Screwing up a push? When have they ever done this?
Right. So, get why I'm worried.
The thing is, though, is that I think you're going to yell at me, and I'm so sorry, everyone who's listening, I'm so sorry. If we had two brands, see, a push to the top would be very easy. But right now, where does Cesaro fit at the top when you currently have the Shield and the Wyatts, technically? You have John Cena, you have Daniel Bryan, you have... it doesn't sound like a lot of people, but honestly, that many people right there, you know, Randy Orton, Batista, Evolution, basically, that is, you know, with that, then immediately he's pushed down to third or fourth, depending on the match card. So it's like, how can he make this rise to the top when everyone else who is currently at the top is pretty damn busy?
No, see, it's not that I disagree with you on the brand split thing, of course. It makes perfect sense. It's just I've given up on it. Really?
Oh, of course. I have, too. I'm just saying that it would make everything better.
Oh, it certainly would. It looks like we've got our caller in, caller on the show.
All right, let's
put him on.
Let's patch him in.
Hey guys. Okay, today I'm not doing a voice.
Oh well, today's. Wait, this is your Danny voice, Stanley.
Yeah, this is my Danny voice.
Danny voice.
Did you dislike Raw too? Is that why you're demotivated?
I have things to say.
So how did you feel about the Raw then?
Speak your words, then. Go ahead.
Does WWE hate minorities?
Oh yes. That was way too quick and happy. I don't think they hate minorities. I just don't think that many minorities are at the top. And I do feel as if sometimes when you are a person who isn't a minority, who isn't of color, and you have certain power or whatever, and you don't get the chance to really self-examine, you know, yourself, you forget that certain things can come off as really, really, really offensive.
Alex Rusev killed another black man tonight.
Again.
Yes.
Again. Not? Yes. Mm-hmm. But no, what specifically are you referring
to,
Danny?
He's eliminated the black off the roster. But yeah, go ahead, Danny. Yeah.
Me, I'm actually referring to the Cinco de Mayo thing.
Oh, actually, what's strange about that is, as a Hispanic man, I enjoyed that for some reason.
What?
I probably shouldn't have, and I'm probably a race traitor, but I enjoyed that for some reason. Honestly, I'd rather have, because the thing is Cinco de Mayo is Cinco de Mayo, you know, so it's a thing, you know, and I felt that it was nice to have actual Hispanic, wrestlers on the roster actually speak. Hopefully this makes them speak more because having their little spat, I think that was the most character I've seen out of them in a while, and it kind of made me happy to see some character out of these guys who never speak, ever. I think that's worse. Yeah, I think that's even worse. Actually, the fact that all they do is come on and say olé, the fact that they actually, were speaking was a nice touch, I think. But I understand why you'd say that, but I don't know. What do you think?
No, I mean, my two cents on the matter, I think, are slightly different than you. I mean, I'm not Hispanic, so I wouldn't know how it feels like to have that thrown out there, because they don't even know I exist in terms of my race, so screw that.
They did once.
I'll say this, and I don't know if you agree with me here, Matt, right? I was more bothered by JBL's comments about Alberto Del Rio during his match than the Matadores segment. Because to me, it was like, okay, you sent out Los Matadores to do the Cinco de Mayo thing because they're fun faces. This seems like something they want to do. You know, Torito throws out candy, they're celebrating. On the flip side, when you have ADR in the ring, he's in there for business. You know, he's trying to be serious. And GMB is like, they should be cheering for him. It's Cinco de Mayo. He's Mexican. You know, this is what we should be doing. Like, that felt more racist to me.
Yes, completely.
I agree.
The first time I actually tuned out of a Daniel Bryan match.
What's funny, that was a weird thing, and, you know, we'll get to that later, but, yeah, that was a weird thing because of, you know, just, it's another Sheamus thing for me, where it's just, was Alberto Del Rio, even though he was meant to be the distraction, you know, was Alberto Del Rio really the guy to throw out there? You know, with the way he's been booked, I know you might think I'm crazy, with the way he's been booked, you might as well put in Dolph Ziggler.
You should have just taken Del Rio off TV.
I don't know about off TV.
Del Rio's problem, he's been on for way too long. They pushed him way too hard.
I don't know. Lately, I don't think I think they've been trying to push him a bit lately, but I don't think he's been pushed enough to be, you know, to fight Daniel Bryan in a singles match. So, honestly, I mean, I don't know. I see what you mean, but at the same time, I don't know. But getting back to the main comment, I don't think WWE enjoys minorities as much as they should. I think even as a demographic, they forget what you need to get a minority, you know. Like, okay, for instance, right, let's just pretend that you're thinking, oh, we need to get the Hispanic market in. Let's have a Hispanic win something. They manage to forget that somehow. In any way, shape, or form. So now that we have Del Rio doing, random whatever, we have the Matadores not even speaking, not even having a voice.
Rey Mysterio's
old, so it's okay. He always gets injured. Yeah. You know, he gets up from bed in the morning, and then he hurt his back. So it's fine. But it's just, you know, and then Sin Cara is actually, I think, the biggest issue, because they pushed him, and then for some strange reason, someone thought, I don't think they like this. How about you ask us? No, we just assume that you don't like it. And then he's pretty much been, where has he been? You know, and I think, you know, I'll say that's an issue, I think, if we're referring to
Well, the original
to Hispanic.
One left, so.
Well, of course. That, I think, everyone knows by now. But the current one got another push, and yet it went nowhere. So I think, you know, I agree. I don't think WWE really understands its minorities very well. Maybe hire some more diverse people onto their staff. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I just think that they just don't understand. And they want to, I think. I think they want to, and I think they think, you know, oh, no, we do understand. But that's just their hubris.
No, I don't think they want to. I really don't
think,
they
want
to.
I think to make money, I think they want to.
But see, if they really wanted to make money, right, and me speaking from a business perspective, right,
I would
make sure we have a successful – I'm not saying, like, this is what I would do if I was running WWE, but I think from a business perspective.
Right.
You should have a successful luchador character to appeal to the Hispanic or mass wrestling people. You know, Ray was that guy for a while. Mm-hmm. Now that you don't have him, your closest thing is Sin Cara. At least have him somewhat relevant. I know that eventually going to call up Samurai del Sol, Kalisto, from NXT when he eventually makes it on TV. So we'll have a luchador character sometime, but I think that's necessary. You also need non-jobber successful African-American people.
I agree.
Like, Mark Henry and Big E are the closest we have, and Big E just lost his title. The only thing that was really making him relevant, and that's not any fault of his own because he's an entertaining guy. It's WWE's fault. You know, so it's not like they're saying, oh, we gave the black guy a chance and he screwed up. It's like, no, you screwed up the way you handled him. So when you look at it, I mean, the title holders right now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Are Daniel Bryan at the top, white.
Yes.
Sheamus and Wade Barrett, white and white. Paige, white. The Usos aren't really, they're Samoan.
Yeah.
So you don't have black or Hispanic title holders at all.
Clap it up for England, for like the United Kingdom for getting three champions.
Yeah, I think that I want to say there is a British invasion, you know, for completely being honest there. I will say, though, that they are expanding to Brazil. I mean, William Regal's actually been scouting some people in Brazil and in so a few other countries, and I think that they're trying to bring them over, hopefully maybe kind of make NXT a bit more diverse, which will then make the future diverse. But, yes, as of right now, they're doing a very poor job at that. Not saying that we just need to – by the way, I would like to really put out, we don't need to just throw titles on minorities. However,
right, and I'm not saying that either. I just want
yeah.
them to be relevant.
But no, but what's cool about the WWE, I think, and about people who they've hired, they do have a lot of people who happen to be minorities with some really cool gimmicks, some that don't even make it seem as if they are, you know, different minorities, meaning like, okay, look at R-Truth, right? Some may be think that his rapping is offensive, right? But then you look at a guy like Xavier Woods, who's kind of breaking that stereotype of, you know, just being this, you know, this black rapper where he's actually, you know, he's getting his doctorate.
And they
right.
He's the first, and he's the second, and he's the first one. Anyway, first one out on the world on the Rumble and the like thing.
Yes, in
the
Battle Royale. Yes, and he was the first one out, which I understand that he was the first one out via the way he's been booked, but at the same time, I didn't like it. Obviously.
Yeah, it sucks that it's come to that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I get that. I mean, because when you look at the state of like Sin Cara is a jobber, right? Alberto Del Rio is in like this. Purgatory type thing where we don't know what they're doing with him, right?
Right.
Biggie's now on his decline. Mark Henry's not on television. R-Truth and Xavier Woods just got jobbed out. Kofi Kingston just got jobbed out. JTG is somehow still employed. I no, but really, when you look at like what they're doing, it's just if someone were to really start talking to them about like racial stuff, I'm not saying, again, like you said, Matt, that we should put a title on them. I agree with you. I'm not saying
no.
we should just throw a title
no.
on minorities, you know? But
no,
you,
know,
yeah.
you have to make
nah.
them relevant. Like when Zack Ryder was jobbing, I mean, at least you had like a random white jobber to throw in there, you know? And now
yeah.
it feels weird because they're recycling
oh.
jobbers that are all the same ethnicity. It's kind of weird. Like it's weird for me. I'm not saying it's like purposefully racist or something. I'm not on some crusade here. But,
No.
Yeah.
But I've even made jokes saying, you know, and, you know, making jokes about, you know, Wyatt being, you know, this quote-unquote, and again, as a joke, redneck, you know, racist, because we sit here and it's just, well, Wyatt's beating up that black guy again. Why do I say that black guy? Because no kid at home knows the person's name because they aren't relevant anymore unless it's in a WWE promo for the network for some reason. Let's just throw Kofi in there. Didn't we film this thing 3 years ago when it was relevant and we were trying to pitch the network to other networks? Whatever.
Yeah.
Just throw him out there.
Kofi's actually kind of relevant, but...
He should be relevant, but I don't think he's relevant because of the fact that maybe a kid will go, oh, that's Kofi something. Like, that's Kingst. That's the guy who jumps high. Right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it won't be like, oh, it's like, you know, like, I don't think anyone feels proud. I don't think that someone feels proud when Kofi Kingston comes out in a way where it's like, this guy is going to dominate and win the match, which is very upsetting. If a kid, even though obviously it's, you know, the kids don't know it's fake. Still, after seeing the pattern, now the pattern is whenever Kofi Kingston comes out, you're going to safely assume that he's not winning the match unless he's fighting Sin Cara, you know?
Yeah.
And even then, it's a toss-up. Maybe the ref wins. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but
okay.
You know what, Danny? Thank you for calling and giving us a good conversational
so
topic.
Right.
It was,
okay.
It's always good to have your input.
Yes. Oh, but one last thing.
Sure.
So Matt, I think that the whole brand split thing is becoming your Brock Lesnar streak.
My client, the WWE roster.
Are you getting heel heat?
But I think I don't know. But thank you so much, Daniel. You know, thank you for calling in. And this honestly needs to be a topic of a show one day. We're writing these down.
You gonna be there tomorrow? You gonna be at the school tomorrow?
No. Or will I? You'll find out tomorrow.
Find out the
and
next episode of Dragon Ball Z. No.
And now I just
cut
off Daniel. But seriously though. Moving back to Raw.
That's a weird thing to talk about. We'll get there eventually.
The Bray promo was really, okay, here's the thing, ready? It tied in rather nicely, but at first I was actually extremely nervous. I know this sounds crazy, we're getting into left field here, but I thought they were trying to bury him. Because he writes his own promos, but they also approve it. And there's also his words in a script that end up being different than what he says. So I'm wondering if they approve it, but they also workshop. They even throw some things out, because obviously you can't assume that, you know, when you're working a card with John Cena, that everything you want to say is being said. You know, they probably let him say a lot leading up to WrestleMania, because obviously you know it was very controversial. They wanted you to buy WrestleMania, but now, I mean, that, at least the beginning of that, just made Bray seem so petty, and I was very upset.
Yeah,
I don't know if you...
No, it's not that I don't agree with you, because that was usually... Bray gets a mic, and I line up at the screen, and I eat everything up. You know?
Exactly.
That was not what I am used to from Bray Wyatt, and I don't know... I can't pinpoint what it was for me that it wasn't there. Now, the second half, it did pick up in a way that I liked it, because I came to appreciate it more at the end, because I was basically trying to figure out, are they trying to have Bray act like he is John Cena?
Yes, exactly, where he believes,
villain feels like he is a hero. And if that is the direction they're going, I am okay with that. Because
me too.
A villain who is so self-absorbed in his whole ideals. Like, he's like, I'm a god. I know what's best. You know, I'm going to recreate things in my image because it's going to be better that way.
Yes.
But it's for you people. You know, I'm doing this for you. Understand. Like, that makes him, like, this twist. In his own head, he's a hero. You know, it's like that old quote, like, every villain is a hero in his own mind.
Yeah. It's,
I can live with that.
Yeah, I just think that the big issue, is that, I don't know, something, and it's not his momentum, honestly. I think it's just the fact that, you know, I don't know, something about just maybe the way he was speaking. I don't think this was his A-game, as you mentioned, you know, before the podcast. I don't think it's his A-game. Mm-hmm. And it might be a Punk syndrome. And I know I keep on bringing up Punk, but I bring it up because he, when he was a face, while he had some great stuff that was really funny, there was a lot of other stuff. Like, I think it was literally, I think we had this discussion. It was a promo with him, Big E, and Cena, and they were making fun of the Shield. Hey, look at that. The Shield were heels just mere months ago. And they basically put, you know, Renee was there, and they put their hands together, and they were like, you know, believe in whatever, right? It's just something about when Punk was building up Cena didn't seem right from Punk himself. Like, there wasn't that energy there, because it felt as if he was thinking, I don't care. Right? You felt that in the back of his head. I just felt maybe that there was a bit of that here, where while it came together in the end, it was nice. Still, there was something about this that felt as if it was, you know, watered down Bray. And when that comes down, when that happens, you just feel like, you know, maybe there's some energy missing. Maybe this isn't a good day for him. This isn't a good angle for him.
It was weird for me because it started off almost like we were supposed to like him. Like, it really did seem like a villainous promo for me having the benefit of hindsight and looking back at the whole thing. He really believes that, you know, he was mistreated and he was wronged and that what he's doing is right. You know, and
that's the first time we saw that, and I think that's why it's an issue, and I think that's why it kind of seems a bit petty.
I am okay with you saying, because you're saying petty, and it's funny because a god shouldn't be petty. And in that sense, yeah, you're right. That's
but
kind
what
of
I hope,
but I
think what I
he,
think that they needed what I he did save it, but I think they need the commentary to do. And this was major for them. I think someone in the back really should have pushed this on them. They should have said none of, like, because Michael Cole alluded to it, but they really need to say Bray Wyatt's a liar. Like, oh, well, what do you mean? That entire thing from beginning to end was a lie to try to get the people in, right? He was never wronged. You know what I mean? Like, that little things like that, if that was my headcanon, you know, if my headcanon was real, that would be great. Because it's just, in general, it's just, I mean, not that he isn't self-absorbed. He does believe he's a god, obviously, all that stuff. But he's simply saying, you know, I'm doing this for you, the woman, you know, the girl who looks in the mirror and who gets, you know, cries because she's too fat. You know, they thought she was too fat to be prom queen. That's
like a good guy, which is funny.
Because, again, it's that cult leader, you know, trying to just sway the masses.
Yeah, not funny, but it's like, oh.
No, I agree. No, it is mm-hmm. funny, because you're sitting here like, huh, like, what? This is Bray Wyatt talking here. This isn't John Cena. Oh, hey, that's what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
But moving forward, you know.
And it's funny, John will be around on main event tomorrow to address what Bray said.
Which kind of intrigues me, you know, into wanting to do a podcast about that.
I think there was, like, another show going on, if I heard, like, away from here. And, I mean, that's why we didn't have John, because
of course.
Normally we'd have John. But
yes.
Quick comment on one of the things I didn't like about the show, right?
Right.
And no John Cena being a good thing, of course. I feel like they sometimes purposely book the shows where John isn't there to be bad because they want to say, oh, look, we need John. But no Usos.
Right, yeah. No tag team championships, right?
And no women's match.
You know, wow, that's I want to apologize to every person listening. You know, also the women. Every person listening. I can't believe I forgot that match. I'm actually very upset about that. That's why you know what? Yeah, you're right. That's why this was a average or below average Raw.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. With things like it wasn't the direction or it wasn't the stuff that they. It was just things didn't work with me. And
the
you
people
can't.
That shouldn't. Yeah.
In a 3-hour Raw, not have a woman's segment, at least a segment, for God's sake, you know? Something.
Maybe they're actually, maybe they're very nervous.
Say, even if there was another show, right? And
right.
Paige was on the other show performing, right? You have other divas.
Yeah, I
do
think
something.
That,
give
yeah.
them a match.
They may have just been nervous about AJ and trying to see where and when she's coming back and how that's working out, that they just completely forgot about every other woman.
But that's just, you can't have a 3-hour Raw in 2014 without a Divas match or segment. Damn it, I said
no,
Divas
true.
Again. Working on that.
I know, women's. I know, yes,
yeah.
I understand. Quickly, Cody versus Ryback. So happy that Cody lost. Woo-hoo. Sarcasm is funny.
My statement on that, and I think you'll agree with me completely,
mm-hmm. Right.
They're booking this backwards. I said this before. Goldust should be the angry losing heel. Cody should be the young successful face. That's how this should work. Why don't they see that?
I don't know. No, I understand. You know, it's very upsetting. It's very confusing. And I agree with you now. At this point, it's, you know, it's losing steam. They should have done this at Extreme Rules. I understand Brothers versus Brother would sell very well. That's not Hogan versus Hogan, by the way. That's actually, you know, a brother versus another brother. And it works. It would work well at SummerSlam. But at the same time, yeah, I don't think it needs to be dragged out this long. But hey, you know, I mentioned this to you before, and I'll mention to you again later. Sadly, because we're watching a weekly episodic, you know, television show, they can't, even though we would like them to solve things rather quickly, they can't. And sometimes they'll pick up something and think, wait, no, now you know what? Now is not the right time. Even though it's stupid because they should have done it when it was the right
they
time.
They could have done it at WrestleMania, and it would have been hot, you know?
It would have been hot, but it wouldn't have fit.
And it had relevance.
Yes.
Now you're trying to force it for payback, and people don't care anymore because
pretty
you let
much,
them
pretty
simmer,
much.
Cool off, and now you're trying to reheat it, but people don't want your leftovers, WWE, so fuck you.
No, I agree. And then the Los Matadores segment, as I said to Danny, I really did love the segment. I don't know why. Something about it just seemed very nice and fun in a way that I think...
I didn't love it, but it fit their characters.
That's the thing. It fit their characters, and I think it's the difference between – okay, there's a difference between them saying, hey, Cinco de Mayo, we are Hispanic. Let us all be happy about being Hispanic. Is that cool? Cool. Rather than, let's say, Hornswoggle going, hey, look, I'm a leprechaun. They don't exist. This is extremely offensive, you know? That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was – I don't even want to say that bad because I don't want to be caught on, like, a backhand where it's like, that was racist. No, it made sense to me. You know WWE is going to do something like that because they always do that kind of shit. And it was probably handled better than they normally do. So, you know what? Let the Matadores have some time with the WWE's universe.
I did. Yeah, exactly. See, that's the thing. I actually enjoyed that because as a Hispanic person, I have family. I live and I know near people who have said things like that. So it's just for me, I feel like it actually did rather hit close to home rather than,
well, yeah,
you know,
I grew up around Hispanics, man. So I guess maybe that's why I wasn't offended either.
That's why, because
I grew up around Puerto Ricans and Peruvians and that kind of stuff. And it's just funny for me because I hear Juniverse, you know, Jello.
Yeah.
In Florida, when I'm down in Florida, it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, so I think if anyone is really offended with things like that, it just, I feel as if maybe they want to, because I understand wanting to push, let's say, I'm a Hispanic and I don't say Juniverse, you know, so I understand that. But at the same time, there's no reason, hell, they had two Hispanics in there, one who said Juniverse and one who didn't. And I think that's what we should be focusing on more.
And also, again, I thought the Del Rio thing later on was worse. And secondly, look, we're in a PC culture where I know that certain things are more racist than they should be. Yeah, that sucks. But also, I know I'm not the Hispanic person to be saying this, but I think it's okay to laugh at ourselves sometimes.
No, that too. As long as I think the issue is, especially, this is for me, a guy who enjoys comedy and who, you know, points a finger usually at everything. What matters is that when you're telling a joke, you make everyone aware that it is a joke. And by joke, it is not the truth. It is a stretch and an exaggeration of something that is in no way true and has no basis, so that you can say, and in this case, while it was funny and it does have a basis, if both, like I really want to push that, if both were saying Juniverse and being extremely, you know, quote-unquote the typical Hispanic, that would have been an issue with me, I think.
Yeah,
but
we've come a long way from
that,
the Mexicals.
No, we really have. Moving
on
forward.
On that segment, though, no more Hornswoggle Torito. Please.
No. Something really I want to mention.
Go.
No more. Okay, I love King jokes. I have to be honest. King jokes are great, actually, when they're actual jokes.
I know where you're going with this, and you're absolutely right.
Yes, but the Wii comments really need to stop. Shut up, all of you. I honestly, no more Wii comments, for freak's sakes. All right, anyway, Bo promo wasn't that good. That also unsettled me a bit, because they weren't trying to be funny because they had troops in there, but Bo's stuff usually is, funny, and they know that they're being funny. So this was just like, are you trying to give him heel heat for using troops? Like, what the hell are you trying to do here? That I'll give you. That really kind of made me a bit unsettled, because what are you doing with this? They've all been funny and over the top.
That was also weird, especially because last night's was so good, they could have just replayed it and we would have been happy. But I don't know what they're going to do with him. I hope they do beat him soon, because I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. Lana segment, I love her Snowden joke. I think she's getting some real great heel heat right now, and I think that it's perfect. And her transition from the Snowden joke into Rusev was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she's doing a very good job. The one thing I don't like, only one thing, she's gotten that new turn. And it's not new, but it's newer, you know, compared to her original, introduction into the main roster. And I don't like the turn. That, in a weird way, and I'm going to, whatever, it's going to sound weird. That, it just feels like, as if they're trying to show her off, where all she has to do is turn. And you can see that she has a very nice derriere, right? She does. And she has very nice legs. And, and you can see those things just by her turning once and speaking to the crowd while she's turned. It happens. Or turning back and then speaking. But to have that full turn, it feels as if she's some model on a catwalk that we have to all see every bit of her. And I don't enjoy that. She has so much to say, and her words carry her more than her body does, I feel.
Yeah, and she's an exceptionally powerful woman in the WWE.
Exactly.
Considering the fact that she controls Alex Rusev, who may just be Rusev now, by the way. Did you see the entrance? It was just Rusev.
That's funny. I didn't even notice.
He needs the name.
Joke.
I like the full name. Alexander.
Me too.
It kind of radiates power.
It does. It really does. And although during his match, I don't like that they're making him less powerful for some reason. Against guys that he's already beaten, that they were very powerful. First off, recently he's been getting down for two counts. I'm not saying he shouldn't be taken down, because, hey, you want to make that progression, he gets taken down, okay. He gets pinned, okay. A one counter less. Don't make it feel suspenseful, like, is Rusev going to get pinned? No! This is Kofi Kingston. This guy in no way has... You have Rusev versus Daniel Bryan. That's who you get taken down with, like, a knee, and then one, two, oh, man! Not Kofi Kingston. Mind you, nothing wrong with Kofi Kingston. I'm referring to him in the way that WWE has currently booked him. They've not booked him to take down Rusev for a two count.
For me, it's just, I don't mind it. I think this is the right thing to do. I think the mistake they had, and I don't remember it because my memory is bad, but they fed Kofi to Rusev before, right?
Yes, that's an issue.
See, that's the thing. That was the mistake. Because Kofi is more credible than R-Truth or Xavier Woods. He's had more title reigns. He's had a bit more success, you know? So when you look at Xavier Woods getting killed, it makes sense. Young rookie who was booked to be not that good. Kofi should be able to put up a fight. The mistake they would have made is giving him to Rusev in the first place before.
Yeah.
Because now he's got the progression where he had his first pay-per-view win. And he should show a little bit of humanity as he continues to win and dominate. Because he can't just dominate everybody. That doesn't make sense.
No, no. Also, while it's something everyone does in a way, so I guess it's not really something major, but it's still something nitpicky. Okay, he throws them around, right, and he beats them down pretty good. So you can say, oh, his back and his head must hurt. But he doesn't really focus on those body parts, and I think that's an issue when you immediately put someone in submission that's supposed to make them tap out. You know, I mean, you make the joke whenever we play WWE 13. Even to this day, yes, we have WWE 13 still. You know,
sorry for cursing on the radio.
You know, but you'll sit there and you'll be, you know, messing with my arm and you'll scream, limb by fucking limb, right?
Yeah, that's kind of my thing.
But it makes sense, though. No, that's on a shirt now. But
I believe
all right.
Total. Seriously, though, if I could have that, though, if I could have that on a shirt, just limb by fucking limb, that would be one of my coolest things. Because, and that's really, like, you guys need to picture, like, me. I'm actually playing WWE with Matt, and I'll just sit there. And mind you, like, I'll have, like, because we play online sometimes, we mess around. So he'll
right.
be, like, his head will be in the red, his body will be in the red. So what do? Put him in submission? No, I start working those arms and legs. Because I need total domination.
Yes.
So you'll see me drop elbows on his legs. And it's just, like, I get weird when I play video games. But,
yeah, no,
I think for me, it's based on the fact that Rusev is a huge guy, though. Because, you know, a guy that's that big, putting you in a submission like that,
yeah,
that would hurt at any time for smaller people like that. So
that's
it's true. Weird.
It's just something like step on his head. That's all, you know? I'm not even saying he's like complex.
That's the thing. I want to be interested in Rusev. This is part of the bad for me, because I'm not interested in Rusev as much as I thought I would be.
Me neither.
He's not doing much in the ring. Like, he's doing, like, when Brodus Clay was doing his Funkasaurus thing, where he was just like, should I get him? And then it was like 3-4 moves. Kind of the same thing Rusev's doing, a sidewalk slam, a kind of a lift over. He's athletic and he can do things, and I like that. And you're going to say, yeah, he's doing more than Brodus Clay did. That's right, he is. But he should be doing more. Like,
I agree completely.
To be interested in him. But yeah.
Yes. Also, moving forward, only briefly, that little Bryan promo where Stephanie said, oh, if there's a breach of contract, you can't leave, right? I liked that. I like that stipulation.
Oh, I love that, because it made sense
for Stephanie
being the
bitch. But you know what really got me upset? I think I texted you about this, and I'm going to scream this because of how angry that I was. I'm sitting here thinking, just let Brie go home. She can drive. I've seen Total Divas. She drives. She knows how to drive.
She wouldn't have abandoned Daniel, and Daniel wouldn't have let her out of his sight. Remember earlier in the locker room, Daniel's room? He said, like, just stay near to me. Just stay in my sights. So,
honestly, I understand that, but I just have to, I don't know. If it was just me and my girlfriend, I would just say, give me a second, Speedy.
Yeah. To be fair, if they did something where Brie was like, look, I can just go home, and Daniel said no?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a one-off line.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. I am, too.
Yeah.
But I just don't, their fault, I don't think it crosses their minds. But it is their fault.
I know. No, but the thing is, though, is that is a huge thing across their minds, only because it makes her look like she's his property. I know I sound really, really, like, hard tonight. It's a thing where I understand you want to keep her safe, but again, for me, it's just, the safest you can be against Kane is in a car. Hit him with the car. The safest place you can be against Kane is in a car.
Well, no, it's not the safest place. Kane popped up in the car.
But he wasn't in the car previously, and if he was, just Daniel Bryan turn around. That'd be funny. Daniel Bryan, turn around. Is he in the car? No, I don't think he is. Great.
Because they didn't turn around when they sat down.
That would be great. I would love it.
They didn't.
What if,
no,
what
I'm
if,
being
no,
honest
no.
with you, Matt.
I
what
know.
If they sat
I hear
down?
You out. No, I know that. I'm just saying, how great would it have been if just Glenn was just sitting in the car the entire time? They didn't tell him when the segment would be. He was in
the
car
the entire night for him. He's playing,
the entire
like, Angry
night,
Birds
the entire
phone.
Day, the entire day. They flew in this morning.
He's just playing stuff on his phone, like watching old videos of himself on the WWE Network.
He isn't playing Angry Birds. He's playing Angry Brian.
Flappy Brian.
Flappy Brian. Thank you. Sorry, I don't know things about the internet. But anyway, and you know, Daniel Bryan versus Del Rio. Another jab at the crowd. C versus Yes Chance. Come on, Albany.
The crowd did show some life for Daniel Bryan, and that's great, because they should, and I'm glad that they did, because,
oh, yes.
You know,
the rumors. I'm sure you've heard of the rumors.
Yeah, we love Daniel, no matter what. If anyone hasn't heard of the rumors,
the current rumor of the day last night until, you know, this night, until this morning, rather, this day, was that apparently WWE is still a bit, you know, they're still wondering, do those people like Daniel Bryan? And that's not even a joke.
Or do they actually like?
I assume that's why they said it. Because that wasn't clear, but you can assume maybe
obviously
that's
obviously Daniel Bryan is over. Let's not even play games about that.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan is over. Yeah, but
let's not play games.
No, and moving now to the segment with Kane on the car, which it was a really nice segment. I know what you're going to say. Brie Bella screams. What if she actually screams like that in real life? We don't know. We don't.
That would be a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
Because the sounds that I'm used to getting out of women in bed, and if that's the sound that she makes,
yeah.
Bye. Bye. That's it.
I'm done.
Sorry.
I'm done.
No. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And anyone who saw that segment, you know. That was terrible.
It really was.
Horrific. It was somewhat. Really bad, low-budget horror movie, and Bree's screams were the worst, because not only were they bad, she wouldn't stop. It's like somebody told her, just keep screaming, they love it. No, it was horrible.
It was actually,
I wanted Daniel Bryan to run her over.
Yeah, it was a great, first off, it was a great B horror movie until she started screaming. That's when it made it bad. But it was a great B-horror movie. I will admit, though, I did want him to back up and hit Kane again, if only because just get the job done. You know, I mean,
can't do
Daniel
that. I was saying to you, yeah. Daniel Bryan is a face, you know. He's a real face.
No. He can get angry and do some mean things. You saw Extreme Rules. Get in a car and hit Kane.
Because Kane assaulted his wife.
Oh, yeah, he almost did it again. Hit him with the car.
He's not going to kill the man. He's just going to beat him down.
He's
not going to
kill the man. He's a demon. You can't kill him. You saw Kane.
I don't know.
He was smiling.
Daniel Bryan's a clean-cut face, in my opinion. He's one of the
actual guys. I understand. Barrett versus Big E so quick was a terrible decision. I have to, you know, speed this up a bit. Terrible decision. I mean, the match was slow and it got better, but it's just such a bad decision because, you know, it's just... This is what I meant when I said earlier that WWE, it was in general, it's an in general bad decision, not even just for Big E. This is terrible for WWE because it's like they want to throw away money, not even on the based on the fact that Big E is African-American, just based on the fact that this is a storyline. Do they not like that?
Okay, you agree with me. Because my first thought was, man, they could have drawn this out to the next pay-per-view to give this a pay-per-view quality match, right? So this is, again, remember I told you, when you think about this in a grand scheme, Matt, tonight sucked.
Yes. You know, it's terrible because, you know, I bet you money that on SmackDown and on Raw, we probably won't see Barrett anymore. Because now that you know what I feel like it is? Okay, personally, I will admit, sometimes I get interested in things and I'll put them down and I'll forget about them for about a couple months, maybe even 6 months. Like, it's terrible. Pokemon being one of them. It's a very sad thing, but it happens. You can't do that when you're working, you know, in a company with people and their lives, you know, and their careers. So I think this is just Vince's flavor of the month or their flavor of the month. And then eventually Barrett's just going to go back away again into obscurity. But with the title, mind you.
WWE creative feels like that rich, entitled kid with toys.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
Know, for five minutes, they're just like, man, this new Wade Barrett toy is awesome. And then something else comes along, and they forgot not only that they liked the Wade Barrett toy, but that it existed. And it's just so bad, because you can't do that if you're a multimillion-dollar company. And I know you're going to argue, well, they're a multimillion-dollar company, and you're poor, Satish. What do you know? Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, I am poor, and I don't know much about that. But the product is back and forth. And
I want them to be consistent. I'll say this much. They're a multimillion-dollar company, but I can assure you that while they've always made mistakes, they didn't build themselves up on stuff like this. If this was the Attitude Era, we wouldn't have wrestling today. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. We'd have WCW, you know.
I mean, we would have wrestling, but it would be a different product. Right, it would.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, we would have wrestling, but we'd have WCW. Actually, what I will say is this much, though. What if both sides imploded? Rousseau imploded that, and then the Attitude Era became what we have now, and
Jim
that imploded.
Jim Cornette would have dominated the world.
Yeah. But seriously though, that's how that's what I think. I think that they just, you know, like you said, where it's like, yes, they're a multi-million dollar company, but they need to just really think of certain things long term. And I thought they were before tonight, and I still think that certain things are. But again, as I mentioned to you last episode, possibly even the episode before, it needs to trickle down. Where the stories need to trickle down to the guys in the mid-card. The guys in the mid-card are elevated and remembered for... Because look at a guy like Goldust, right? He's had so... Even though, yes, his character is already memorable enough, he's had so many memorable things that he can come back, you know, after so long. And even if he wasn't that good in the ring, still, he would have been an amazing manager, you know, just standing there. I mean, we all remember him. We all love him. There are not enough mid-card guys now that if they came back in X amount of years, the kids could remember and love them.
And speaking of mid-card guys, I think one of the last things we have to touch on tonight is Adam Rose, right?
Not the last, but it's definitely a big thing I want to touch on. Well, actually, before we even touch on that, though, yes, it is the last thing. I love my mother. I paid it for
that
my love
beautiful,
my mother.
My opinion.
It really
I don't
was.
Give a damn what anybody says.
I'm so happy.
That made me happy.
Yes. No, that was the best thing in the world ever. Yes, okay. Zeb Coulter versus, you know, Adam Rose in a segment. Okay, I knew that he was going to appear, and it was glorious, right? But I did hear some boos when Rose came out, and that person needs to be shot.
Yeah, very quickly, fuck you, Albany, for not really... I mean, I'm glad you hummed his theme song.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Albany. That's Adam Rose. Show some respect.
Yeah.
Party with the man.
No.
Don't be 11.
Yeah, no,
be a Rose bud.
No, but what really gets me
fuck
upset
you,
about
Albany.
That is... What really gets me upset about that is this may – okay, I know this sounds, again, crazy. This can change the course of this man's career.
I'm going to argue what's going to change the course of this man's career. Not that crowd, but Michael Cole. You want something to become popular?
Oh, yes. Don't start doing it. Don't
Michael
do it.
Cole do it.
Don't have
because
either three of them.
That.
Either of them. Either of them.
Made me
none of those three – Yeah, no, because even if you and I were there, right, even if we became the, you know, the announce team, we couldn't do it. We couldn't. No, unless we said, you know what, shut up, JBL, maybe pushed him and then got up and started taking our suits off to reveal some really nice party clothes underneath.
No, like,
that would be fun.
Like, okay, if you and I were on commentary, right?
Yes.
You are right in saying that we couldn't do that unless we were that over-the-top type of person. Like, in the dynamic that we always joke about with me being the heel and you being the face, if I was sitting there like, this is shit, and you pushed me out of the way, ripped off your suit to have an exotic express shirt on, and started dancing on the table, that would have worked, right?
Yes.
But see, Michael Cole off-tune, humming the song, and then doing some kind of weird conniption seizure dance.
Yes.
No, that doesn't help Adam Rose. And as much as I wanted him to wrestle, because he is a good wrestler. He's a pretty damn good wrestler. I'm going to enjoy every time he's on my TV, I hope, because it was just fun for him to come in. And by the way, let me not take away from Coulter's little, you know, immigration list thing. That was fun. That made me laugh because, Sheamus and Paige definitely go to the same tanning salon. So
Yes. Tonight, we are also going to go a few minutes over because I do want to speak a lot about Adam Rose. I know it might sound strange, but, you know, and also a bit about some more Shield Wyatt stuff. So I would like to say thank you guys for listening. But, you know, later on tonight, we're going to repost this, and then you can see in the archives what we have to say. And, you know, I mean, we love you guys for listening. You know, please like us on Those Guys on the Radio, which is the URL, search bar. Just, you know, on Facebook is Those Guys.
So what's
our Gmail
icon right now, Matt, for those of you who don't know?
Oh, it's Bray Wyatt, actually, which may be changed soon to something else wrestling related. Don't you worry.
I'm hoping
it's
Paige. I'm banking on that. That's my vote. But, yeah.
I'm sorry. It might not be Paige, but it's something just as great. Don't you worry.
I know where you live, you son of a bitch.
Love you too, man. So anyway, again, thank you guys for listening. Right now it's Bray Wyatt it's a very artsy picture. I love it. It's I believe it's just trees or birds just flying off of him, basically. Like his face just, and it's breaking apart. It's a lovely thing. Go check it out. We also posted, you know, happy Cinco de Mayo. Sadly, it's not Cinco de Mayo anymore. But when it was Cinco de Mayo, happy Cinco de Mayo from us.
Happy Cinco de Mayo from us. You know, have a good evening out there. If you want to shoot us an email for anything, to contact us, advertising, potential products you want us to talk about, potential topics you want us to talk about. Thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com is always open, our Facebook page. Please do like it, of course, you know.
Yeah, you get updates on all new shows. I mean, tomorrow, Satish and I are doing a main event show. We'll update you that
John
on
Cena's going to be out,
yes,
and that,
yes,
should,
right,
matter.
And and we'll update you about that on the Facebook page. So definitely like that. Otherwise, you won't know when we're going, and that's a terrible tragedy.
You could just keep us on all day and hope. You know, that would be nice for us and our revenue. But
our lack of
revenue,
yeah,
right now.
Right.
But
so as it's coming to we're coming to a close. Again, listen to us in the archives because we have a lot to say about Adam Rose because, I mean, don't be a lemon. Be a rosebud.
And hopefully sometime soon check us out in cage side seats. Why not, right?
Yep, we write a lot of articles there, and, we just keep them coming, We're very artistic.
Yeah, so for live listeners out there, thank you once again.
And now we're in the archives. Now we're in the archives, everyone. Hello.
Now we're in the dead zone.
This is Those Guys After Dark. As if anything changes, really. The reason why I want to talk about Adam Rose so much is because,
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was like, Matt says we're going to go over it. I'm like, all right. For those of you out there who are now listening in the archives, we're not really, we script our opening to an extent.
Yeah.
But it's usually very impromptu. Like, the things that I say in terms of opening and ending, the music that we play towards the end, that's just done for fun throughout the show because surprise element. And the only script we tend to follow is if we decide, hey, are we going in order tonight or are we going, segment by segment in a specific, arranged order. So we hopefully usually try to hit within the hour that we're on. But
yes, no. The reason why I wanted to bring up Adam Rose is only because I just think that, this is a guy, right, who, while he doesn't have a future like, let's say, Big E would, because, of course, you mentioned he's 35, I just want to bring this up because it's just, this could kill a man. This really could. And this is such a huge segment because even though it was so small and it was so funny, I laughed the entire time. Zeb Coulter, his reaction was priceless. But the reason why we may have had some boos is because WWE, it's just, they're not connected with their fans. And I think they really need to be connected. And that's why, even if it was going to be a couple of minutes, I really wanted to expand on this because, they can't, you want to throw Adam Rose against a heel that would have been perfect for him? Damian Sandow. No one likes, we like Damian Sandow, right?
But that's right.
The fans don't, meaning that, the standard random people in the audience that would cheer don't cheer for Damian Sandow, sadly, anymore. So that's a perfect, Damian Sandow talking about, ignoramuses and being, uncultured masses, all that stuff. And all of a sudden Adam Rose just comes out because he's the perfect, opportunity to just showcase
the
guy.
He is the anti-Sandow. And in terms of mid-card storylines, mm-hmm. I can't disagree with you at all.
Yeah.
I would love to see Adam Rose, Damian Sandow, because then you have a chance for both guys to work this thing on the mic. They're both fun on the mic in different ways.
Right.
And entertaining. So it's not like putting them on Raw to do a segment for a couple minutes is a bad thing. It's not hurting your product.
No.
And at the same time, you're giving Damian Sandow something to do that relates to his character, which is great. And you can, if you really want to make him job, you can put over Adam Rose. Because
Zeb Coulter, though? You want to know why Zeb Coulter is literally the worst choice they could have done? Do you know why Zeb Coulter is? Because, Paul Heyman versus Zeb Coulter is okay. Right? That was fine because there's people who want to cheer Paul. There's people who want to cheer Zeb. There's people like you and I who want to cheer both. That's perfect because those are the kind of guys, when you have a new guy, technically new, debuting, coming here, pulling on Zeb Coulter's beard, a man who for the past few months has proven himself, worthy of their praise. Because, yes, you might think, maybe the WWE thinks, oh, no, people just like to chant things. If we chanted Boston sucks in Boston, they'll chant it. But you know what? We the People is a big thing. And who helped We the People? Cesaro's skill as a wrestler? Yes. Not his mic work. Jack Swagger's skill at giving people concussions? Maybe. But not Swagger's mic work. Zeb Coulter did. You don't put a new guy like this against Zeb Coulter. The worst choice you could have done. It's funny, but some of the things that he did that obviously I assume they told him, hey, pull on the beard. really is just mind-boggling that they would think that that would be appropriate.
I'm not as angry as you, but I am in agreement with you about about the fact that that's just stupid for Adam Rose to come out and do. I mean, is he going to have a segment with Swagger now? Like, is Swagger going to be his?
If he's going to fight if he is going to fight, which I assume he would, is going to fight with Swagger on SmackDown. While it's a stupid thing for Swagger to do, it's a great thing to help build up Adam Rose, I think.
I mean,
although, I don't know.
We'll see what they do with Rose because.
Although I'm nervous.
Yeah,
because
like, I don't know. I wanted him to wrestle tonight, like especially because they say Adam Rose debut. You know,
I thought he was going
to wrestle because he is not a bad wrestler. I mean, no, he's not Daniel Bryan, but you're not going to be bored in his matches. I think he's fun because he is fun. Literally, he is a fun wrestler.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
The only thing that does scare me that I really am worried about is, you know, I made a concussion Swagger joke, but that's kind of what he does. So I'm very nervous if, you know,
that's
Adam Rose being this.
So that's
basically 35. It's what I do. Being 35 years old, being a man who, you know, shouldn't really be. I mean, wrestling
speaking
is fine.
Of age, by the way.
Oh, thank you. It's in the archives, but still, let's let everyone know.
Yeah.
So
you're
retracting your Kane comments.
Yeah, I'm not even completely retracting, but I want to give
him more credit.
Last night, I was basically saying, you know, man, you know, it could have been better. Kane could have done more. And I did not know that he was 47. And it's weird for me because, no, I'm not saying that everything on my opinion of the match changed, but it's like Kane is 47. That, considering what Kane can do, you know, at 47, debuting in 1995 for WWF. So he's been around for 19 years, and he can still do that? I don't think I'm as angry as I was.
Yes, at the time I was 3. At the time you were 2. Not last night, mind you, 1995. So I just think that it's just, yeah, I mean, again, I wouldn't want you to take back all of your, because I understand why you said what you said, but now it puts things more into perspective.
Yeah,
I'm going to
give him a bit more credit, like a bit of like a tip of my hat. Just like, you know what, Kane, for putting on that match at 47, you know. Kudos.
Yes, because,
I want
because
that
for
to be
some
on
reason, because for some reason, you know, we did obviously knew he was old because this man's been wrestling for so long. Obviously, he is in his 20s or even in his early 30s, but something inside of us didn't click. You know, when he said, "Oh, I'm retiring," something didn't make us think, you know, soon. Something didn't make us think, "Oh, you know, I mean, so young." But neither did it think, "Well, it's his time." You know, it's just, "Oh, wow, it really is his time. He's 47 years old. It's here." You know, there's no reason for him to wrestle anymore. Here we are.
Yeah, but,
so,
I mean, in terms of Rose and Swagger, I mean, if that becomes a thing, I don't know how to feel about it yet. I don't.
I know.
Because
I think it's good for Rose not in terms of a push, but not good for him in terms of injuries. I mean, again, he's old. I don't think this is
that,
great for him.
What's going to happen to Swagger then? Because then if he loses out to Rose, right?
Yeah.
I mean, does he just, not that he's someone I think needs to be at the top, but it's like, is he just going to, like, fade into jobber status? Because he's got value.
Yeah, we don't need
and
this many
jobbers,
guys.
And he still has that culture attached to him.
Yeah.
Who grabs heat. You know, he grabs attention when he does things. So I just,
I hope this doesn't pull Zeb down. I mean, I know he can't be doing this forever, but he is so good on the mic that, you know, I hope that if he does leave, maybe because of, you know, Swagger not, you know, let's say Swagger has put down the jobber status and his character is retired, I hope they just shave him and do something else. You know, because I think he, like, what if they, honestly, I don't know about you, but I don't know if his accent is thick or not. I would be extremely happy if he just, you know, eventually fades off into obscurity. If it happens, he fades off. He gets shaved down. Backstage, no one makes reference to this. He comes back out as an Adam, you know, as an Adam Rose hippie guru, complete without the accent. Just, you know, just peace and love, man.
I don't know, but they got the entire Exotic
Tagging
Express.
With RVD. Yes.
Jesus fucking Christ. It's fun to me. It is fun. I like it. I know not everybody does, but I like Adam Rose. I'm going to like Bo Dallas when he's up.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, so what else did you want to touch on? Because I know you mentioned, I think, Shield.
I know it may have sounded like, the thing is that was it, and I only made a big deal of it, though, because I didn't want to condense it to 3 minutes and then have it be lost.
Oh, no, that's perfectly fine. I just want to make, you know.
No. That was really all.
I'll take you on it.
I know I said Shield Wyatts. I tried to make it sound more interesting for the archives. I'm sorry, everyone listening in the archives. We still love you. What?
You clickbaited people.
Yes,
I'm
going to
talk about the Shield and the Wyatts. You WWE their asses.
Hey, at least they're not paying for this, right?
No, we're free. We'll always be free. We hope you enjoy the product, of course.
No, we really do. And, you know, I mean, I'll say this much then. I will give the people what they wanted. Shield versus Wyatts, it's been a draw. It has been. Not going to work again anytime soon.
Right. They've burnt that. They've gone to that tank too many times.
Yeah.
And it's now over. It was good tonight, but they just can't do that again. Which definitely
they can.
They need to build heels.
Yeah, they can. No, the thing is, they can do that again. Just give it. Okay. My thing is, they need to give it like at least 6 months because it'll feel that long. Where we might think again, but honestly, with the way WWE does things, 6 months from now, you know, is a very long time. Especially for these characters who just a couple months ago, looking in the Shield's case, were heels.
You know what happens 6 months
funny.
From now? Los Matadores and Adam Rose versus 3MB. I'm waiting for the Adam Rose 3MB feud. I'm waiting for the Adam Rose 3MB feud.
You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for something. I think this should happen more in WWE. I think people should be at ends with each other, but still kind of give each other a nod, if you will, where Adam Rose goes, you know, I don't exactly believe in your music, but I defend your right to play it.
The party.
And then,
the party.
Yeah,
exactly. In my head, when they were doing the 3MB, when 3MB came out to interrupt Los Matadores, they're like,
right.
The party starts, the party this. I'm like, is Adam coming now?
Yeah, I
thought they were just directly just saying, the party doesn't start until we arrive. And Adam's like, actually, love.
Yeah, no, that would have been smart, actually.
I thought that would have been fun. And you know what?
Yeah.
I like Adam Rose. I can't help it. I'm not going to lie about it.
You know what we need? I think we need, and this maybe people would think this would be played out, but I don't. We need a night where he appears three times. Not in the same hour, mind you. But we need a night where it's just, you know, it might just be, you know, two people arguing.
Continuously partying?
Basically, like, just like the party will move. Let's say it's two backstage segments. I wasn't thinking of it like this, but it would be perfect. Two backstage segments, just, you know, people talking, just maybe like, you know, an interview or something. And all of a sudden, just like John Cena, think about the Wyatts, you know, is that, I will destroy Bray Wyatt. Da, 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 da. Like, just partying through. Hello, John. Good luck in your match tonight. And then just
and he offers him the lollipop because that becomes his thing.
Yeah,
because he offers him the lollipop, and I laughed because I was like, "Damn it, I love you, Adam."
I think the best thing in the world would be a Bray Wyatt promo, and in the background they're being quiet because they do respect Bray, but they're just dancing. You just see the silhouette of just Adam Rose just.
No, I would love
smiling.
One night, right? Adam Rose just video bombs every interview.
Yes.
Like, just imagine, like, just whatever's happening, like Renee's interviewing, like, Sheamus or something backstage.
Yeah.
Adam just moonwalks across the screen.
Yeah.
No mention of him at all, but he just moonwalks across the screen. Later on that night, he's, like, doing the worm in the background.
I'm actually starting to get angry.
Again.
You want to know why I'm starting to get extremely angry? A perfect segment right here. If Big E and Xavier Woods were relevant, perfect segment. During an interview, all of a sudden, it's just, you know, Renee is interviewing someone about something extremely serious. Adam Rose and his party comes in. They're just partying. All of a sudden, Big E kind of looks at, or Xavier Woods kind of looks at Renee, looks back at them and says, I'm sorry, I think I'm needed. And just walks out on the interview to just party with them. Even later on during the night when Rose has a segment, you just have random Xavier Woods dancing with some chick.
What if, and this is going to be the thought I end on.
Okay.
If his partying is brainwashing, and he eventually has a feud with Bray Wyatt, who's lost his momentum because of John Cena, and Adam's partiers go up against Wyatt's family in a confusing yet reminiscent of the Thriller music video battle?
You know what I think? I think you have to believe in that.
I will when he shows up.
Yeah, right?
Believe in false idols, Bo. You got to be here for me to believe.
Yes. But everyone, this is where we end. We shouldn't be going over ever again. I mean, think about it. No, we should be going over once at least. But tomorrow is main event. We're not going to go over.
We're going 3 hours for main event.
Yeah,
John Cena's going to set me off on the worst rant of my life. I bet.
Oh, I'm going to be so confused. Just Satish, you're reading a Bray Wyatt script. You're a racehorse. Satish, you're just reading a Bray Wyatt manuscript. Do you put it down, Satish? But yeah, so we have 3 hours main event tomorrow. No, so tomorrow's gonna be standard main event. When? Find out by liking those guys on the radio, or just those guys if you're doing the search function. Like our page, you'll get to know about our shows. We're very varied. We do shows on anime, on tokusatsu, even a very kind of spread out. I did a show on Total Divas with Ashley Colpan, who sadly, my fellow co-host, who could not be here yesterday for Extreme Rules, but will be doing, Total Divas with us next week. Not Satish, though. He doesn't really watch Total Divas.
No.
He's been spared. But anyway, thank you guys for listening, and I would like to thank you guys for listening.
Legend House is the male version of Total Divas.
Yes, basically. I would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys.
I hope
like
he
to play
would
us.
Stop. He didn't
would
stop.
Would you like to play us out, Satish?
Yeah, I'll play you out, son of a bitch.
Love you too.